Yeah, you were the valedictorian of high school. So yeah, people don't really know that. So being so highly intelligent, do you find getting your Form D easy, or was it still like, you know, how was that?
Even though I've always been at the top, like, that's a fact. I'm at the top.
Your whole entire life.
Yeah, I'm at the top. So, yes, I am intelligent, but I feel that the intelligence wasn't just handed to me. I feel that I kind of like really worked hard for it.
I know we have been super humble our whole entire lives. So it's really hard for us to acknowledge our talents and acknowledge maybe our intelligence or our achievements. So I just want to ask you this. Many students and professionals struggle with acknowledging their own accomplishments and talents. Have you ever experienced imposter syndrome or felt uncomfortable talking about your achievements? And if so, how did you overcome it? Being too humble will get you overlooked real quick. And I've learned that many times. You done did this. Who can say they did all of this? You know, I have to really tell myself that and just remind myself who I am.
You're up, you're ready, and you're listening to the Brittany Mac Podcast. Everyone has a story, applying them to inspire the world weekly on Motivation Mondays. Here's your host, Brittany Mac.
Hello, Tia. Welcome back to the Brittany Mac Podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, it's nice to be here today.
I really wanted to have you on earlier in the season, but you know, you've been very busy.
Yes, extremely busy.
Because you're graduating pharmacy school and you have a whole lot going on.
Yeah, a lot. And you know, the transitions can be time consuming. A lot of preparation and things go into play.
Yeah. So I'm super honored to be able to fit into the busy schedule you have going on right now. So what inspired you to pursue a career in pharmacy, and how has your experience in pharmacy school lived up to your expectations?
So that is a good question. You know, pharmacy has been my passion for a very long time, but the reason why I chose it is because I've always had a passion to help others and serve, and I wanted to be sure that people were educated about their health. And I always knew I wanted to go into the medical field, but I knew that I didn't want to, you know, deal with all that nasty stuff, the blood and guts, and, you know, I'm not really, like, hands-on at that point, but I feel that pharmacists are very impactful. They can educate their patients and also help them with their medications as well and non-pharmacological methods in life. But as a child, I always grew drawn, like, more interested in math and science, and I know that in the medical field, that's more like what is tailored to is math and science. Also reading, you know, like looking up articles and doing research and things like that. But I always had that passion for that science and math, and like learning about the human body and how it works has always been something that I was interested in too.
Yes. So has your experience lived up to your expectations?
Well, I'll say I really didn't know what to expect. Like, each chapter of my life, I just go in it, like, being prepared for the unexpected. So I knew that it would be challenging, and I knew that it would be different from undergrad. So I just was coming into it with the mindset of just staying focused, being on top of it, and just working hard to excel. So everything that I've been through thus far throughout pharmacy school, I feel that it has helped me to become the practitioner that I will become, and also helped me with my next chapter of, you know, doing a residency and then ultimately being that practitioner to have that one-on-one relationship with their patients. So the experience has had its ups and downs and long nights, stress, but I feel that all of those things help you in the long run, and you can take
just information from each moment or each time you had maybe a downfall or you didn't do as well as you wanted to do, it can help motivate you and help you to have that drive to continue to work hard.
Yes. And I remember sometimes you would come and you know how I would interview y'all. You would also be like, okay, I need to interview y'all for this class. I need to practice. And you would have us like playing roles of patients and stuff.
Yeah. You know, because we have to talk to the patients. And mm-hmm. I did need to prepare to, you know, I was going to talk to the patient and make sure I remember everything, all the steps mm-hmm. I need to take during that encounter. But yeah, I really did appreciate those because I feel that hands-on learning is the best type of learning for me personally. But yeah, I did appreciate those times that you all helped me with that.
Yeah. How has your pharmacy education prepared you to work with diverse patient populations? And do you have any stories that illustrate your ability to communicate effectively with patients from different backgrounds?
So I feel that our didactic learning, so the learning that we do in class, we kind of learn about, you know, different populations and then like how you treat certain populations because like everyone isn't exactly the same. So you have to kind of like tailor your treatment methods to the patient specifically. So in that aspect, like learning the differences between how to treat someone with hypertension in this type of population versus another type of population, I would say I felt that I had a good background on that. And also during our fourth year, we have APPE rotations and not one rotation is the same. So we're in different populations. So in Florida, I would say it's very diverse compared to like other places, you know, living in Tennessee. I feel that it's more diverse than being there. So I come in contact with a lot of different patients, a lot of different socioeconomic statuses and races, ethnicities. So I feel that I have been exposed to a lot and taking encounters with each patient that I have been encountered with has helped me to kind of, you know, be able to communicate effectively with anyone.
Yes. Okay. Can you share a story about a time when you collaborated with other healthcare providers, such as physicians or nurses, to improve patient outcomes and ensure safe medication use?
So in school, they really honed down on interdisciplinary training. So we worked a lot with like med students, physical therapy students, nursing students. So in school, I feel that those experience, we called it the IPE, interprofessional experience. I believe that's what it stands for. So those times we kind of work together and each person wears a hat. Each person has a different role with treating the patient. And, you know, we kind of learn not to overstep boundaries because, you know, for physical therapy, if this person has a broken ankle, like I'm not too sure on, you know, how to tell them how to use their crutch or all of that. So being able to know your scope of practice to effectively help the patient, even seeing it like when I was on rotations, I was able to see a lot of multidisciplinary teams work and treat a patient, like seeing case managers and nurses and like physicians and attendings. And I really enjoyed that. And I feel that they kind of pushed me to do a residency so I can potentially be a part of those interdisciplinary teams to effectively help treat the patient as a whole.
As you prepare to enter the workforce as a licensed pharmacist, what are some of the biggest challenges you anticipate facing and how do you plan to overcome them?
Okay, so I feel that mine is not as traditional like my next steps. Since I am pursuing a residency, I will be a licensed pharmacist once I pass my exams and all of that, but I still will be kind of like in that student setting because yes, I'm a pharmacist, I have my doctorate, but I'm also training to learn more information. I'm getting paid for it, but I'm still kind of like in that student. So I'm still I'll be in the middle ground. But as for like post-residency training, I feel that I might be kind of like nervous being like on my own treating patients, seeing my own patients, but I am very excited for the experience. I'm excited to get paid finally and also being able to learn more and being able to actually treat the patients and see them and learn from all of those experiences that I'll have. But I'm sure it's going to be very different than being in the classroom as it was when I went to fourth year and we started doing appy rotations versus learning in the classroom. So I feel that each step is like a learning step, and you also just have to get readjusted to the time point that you are at.
Yes, and I noticed you said finally getting paid. Mm-hmm. I know everybody is excited for their part. Once yes. they've been training for free, you know, getting that education and having to, you know, learn mm-hmm. and then finally being able to get paid after all of that. Yes, I feel like that's everybody's favorite.
Yeah. Get the reward at the end.
Yeah. Well,
monetary reward.
Yeah, and it shows how worth it was.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the transition of like working to learn and then finally being able to get paid, I want to talk about some other transitions that we probably don't think about too much. So first, you graduated from a private college in Memphis, and then you transitioned into graduate school at a public college in Florida. So how was that transition for you?
The transition was different for both aspects. So like in Memphis, well, the schools are different, but I don't think like just because one was private, one was public, that made a difference. It was more so of maybe like the location, like Memphis being close to home and family, and then here I didn't know a single person. However,
let me mention, it's USF.
Yeah.
And that's in Tampa. I don't think I mentioned that.
So, however, well, at CBU, Christian Brothers, I knew no one. So, I feel like it was very comparable for me, actually, because I'm going to schools where I don't know anyone and I have to meet new people, make new friends, build new connections. So, the transition wasn't that difficult. I feel that since I did go to an undergraduate school where I didn't know anyone, I feel that it kind of helped me in this state and going to USF and not knowing anyone as well, because I took those skills of being able to kind of like get out of my comfort zone and talk to and meet new people and make friends and build relationships. But as far as maybe the workload, I feel that undergrad and grad really can't compare, because, well, specifically pharmacy school, because the coursework is more rigorous. You don't get to choose how many hours you take. Like, your schedule is your schedule. And I think we were taking like 18 plus hours. And then also, you know, working, doing internships, being involved on campus, being in organizations. It's a lot. But I also was involved in undergrad. So I feel that kind of like my experience in undergrad, even though it's a private school, it really didn't make a difference. But it just kind of helped me to take the skills as an undergrad student to graduate school and also kind of tweak them, because you can't like always transfer skills equally. I had to readjust the methods and ways I studied, or the ways I did time management, or even the amount of time I worked. I work a lot more in undergrad versus being in pharmacy school, because I had less time available to do that. So I do think that the experience in undergrad was very beneficial to me, and specifically with not knowing anyone in both campuses kind of helped me along the way. However, well, one thing I did forget to mention was the price. So private school was way more expensive than public school. Even though I'm getting a doctorate, my doctorate costs less than my undergraduate degree from a private school. So that's one thing. So cost is something different, but really didn't look at that in the end.
Yes. And also, you met your fiance in undergraduate, so I feel like that's something you didn't really have to worry about in graduate school.
I mean, but he wasn't my fiance when I was in grad school, so you never know. Relationships don't always last, so we could have broke up. I could have met a fiance in grad school. Who knows?
But you didn't have to think about it.
That was never a thought. A relationship is never a thought. In my professional career, I am more focused on like meeting my goals. Like when I went to undergrad, a relationship wasn't a thought. It was, okay, I'm here to get my education. And that was my thought. Not like, I wonder, does this campus have some, you know,
mm-hmm.
good candidates on here? No.
Okay.
It was more so just education and personal growth and professional growth.
So regardless, you wouldn't have let like guys really just interrupt what you had going on mm-hmm. at all?
No, I'm very goal oriented and focused. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, what I want to achieve, I'm going to achieve it. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, hold me back or get in the way. You know, you may kind of like do a little adjustment to plans, but not like defer your goals long term.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's one thing that I kind of, when I was in undergrad, I was in a relationship and I just was so strict on my goals and I just was not letting up on what I wanted to do. And I feel like that was kind of, my goals was kind of a problem. Yeah. And yeah, it did kind of, you know, it didn't distract me, but that was something that was there, like that was kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. So I do like that you wouldn't let a relationship or anything like that deter you regardless.
Yeah, because if that person is for you, they're going to understand like what's important to you, your values and what you want to do in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they can't accept it, they just can't accept that. Like, you shouldn't have to like compromise yourself or your goals that what you want to achieve, because before you even met that person, like, this is who you were mm-hmm. and what you wanted to do.
And they should just trust you mm-hmm. regardless, I feel like. Yeah. Unless, you know, it's something that you just know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people probably don't know that you've been super smart your whole entire life. And that's something I really didn't think about until, say, around maybe middle school. Because people used to tell us we're smart all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was just something that, you know, you've heard that your whole life, so you really don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But then in middle school, when I started to really just think about it, once we started being around more kids and stuff like that, and then I had some teachers after you, because sometimes I didn't have like the same teachers as you, because mm-hmm. But I started having some teachers that were yours, and I was getting good grades, and I was like, oh my gosh, so you're smart like Tia? So everybody kept bringing up that you're so smart. And I was like, hold on. And I was like, maybe she's really, really smart, because people keep acknowledging it. They're not acknowledging it about just a lot of people, but they mm-hmm. just kept bringing you up being very smart. And I'm like, hold on. You didn't get to have a graduation because they changed the fifth grade thing and started making fifth grade the last grade instead of sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And then you would have gotten the valedictorian spot in fifth grade if y'all would have had a graduation. But then in high school, you were the valedictorian. But by then, I knew that you were really, really smart. And, you know, so mm-hmm. just not the average type of smart, but very smart. Like, you always made the highest grade. Sometimes if you could make a 103 or something above a 100, you would even make that. Like, mm-hmm. whatever the highest grade possible, you would make that. And yeah, you were the valedictorian of high school. So yeah, people don't really know that. So being so highly intelligent, do you find getting your Form D easy, or was it still like, you know, how was it?
Well, for me, first let's talk about the intelligence part. So mm-hmm. for me, I don't feel like I'm like so highly, you know, intelligent, like. But everywhere I go, I do have like friends, and they always like, "Tia, you're so smart. You're so smart." I'm just like, I feel like I'm just, you know, regular, you know, intelligent level. I don't really see much of a difference. Even though people have said it a lot, I guess I should kind of see a difference, but I really don't. And I just feel that I kind of just work hard. You know, some people, like, I feel like it's more like a work ethic than just outright intelligence. Because if I didn't work hard, I wouldn't have the knowledge that I did have. Like, it just don't fall out the sky into my brain. Like, I kind of work hard at it and try to, you know, think of ways to kind of have things to be set in my brain. Or, like, have the memory capacity to, you know, like, obtain all the knowledge that I can. So, for the intelligent aspect, even though I've always been at the top, like, that's a fact. I'm at the top.
Your whole entire life.
Yeah, I'm at the top. So Yes, I am intelligent, but I feel that the intelligence wasn't just handed to me. I feel that I kind of like really worked hard for it, studied, prepared, like did the proper steps to be successful with, you know, obtaining the knowledge and retaining the knowledge. And as far as pharmacy school, it's just like the work ethic. I don't think that it was easy. It's not easy to get this degree. It's not like something you can just, oh, I'm going to study the day before, although some people may do that. I'm not knocking them for that, but that's not the type of person I am. My work ethic, I like to be organized. I like to be planned out, prepared. So I'm going to have my schedule. I'm going to say, okay, the test is this day. I'm going to start preparing on this day. So I won't feel overwhelmed trying to obtain all this knowledge and remember all these things the day before. So I kind of like prepare and like to that what fits me. So however... how I know that I'm learning this information, that's what I do. And some people, it's just different, you know. Some people like to do group things to help them learn better. Some people like to write everything down. Some people like to read. Some people like to listen to it. So whatever is your method of learning, like, you just have to adjust to it. And I feel that anyone can be, you know, intelligent. Just work hard and continue to try to find ways that'll help you learn and retain the knowledge. In pharmacy school, it's a lot of information, like so much information. And you have to prioritize, like, which one, like, which class is more challenging. So dedicate more time to that class versus this class. So it's a lot about, just not about the intellectual ability, but also the ability to prioritize and figure out what is more important. Everything is important, but to be honest, like, some things are more important and you have to put more time into it because it may be more challenging or more information that you have to learn. So like an example I'll say is infectious diseases. Like that's something that's a lot, like it's changing all the time versus something that's probably like a chronic disease state. Yeah, that changes a chronic disease state management. But for like infectious diseases, I feel that there's something that's so vast and like a lot of drugs, a lot of antibiotics, and a lot of bugs that comes with it. So it's like a very vast type of subject and very challenging in my opinion. So that's something that I have to put more time and effort to, you know, learn and retain that information versus something like a chronic disease state, maybe like hypertension. Yes, a lot of drugs and stuff is more common. You see it a lot. You see it in the community pharmacy. You may have relatives that have it. So it's something that's more relatable versus something that's so vast. This is infectious diseases. So just being able to prioritize, making sure you know like your strengths, your weaknesses. I know I'm good. I'm super good at math. So this calculations exam, I have it to a key. Not saying that for myself, but just in like an example. So just putting in the work and the time and effort to what really needs it versus another area that you may not need as much time to.
One thing I noticed is that my sister is super humble. So she don't realize how smart she is, even though like she has a great work ethic. But okay, so you know how you also were surrounded with super intelligent people around your age as well. And they worked, they had the same work ethic, very smart. And like in high school, for example, all of your friends were incredibly smart, and they, yeah, like I say, they all had the same work ethic, but somehow for you, you just, it has always been like you getting the maximized grade that you can get. You always like getting perfect, whatever. And yeah. And also not only that, you would be super involved. Like you probably on a cheerleading team, maybe band and all of these other types of things. And you've been like that your whole entire life as well, even in college. So weren't you the president of AKA in college?
Yeah.
And what else?
I mean, I was just in like different organizations as well.
Grad school too. Aren't you the president or were the president of some type of pharmacy club or something?
Yeah, it was Kappa Epsilon Pharmacy Fraternity. But I feel like those things, I can use those to my advantages. I mean, I like to be involved. It's something that I do. And I feel that that kind of pushes me. I don't know. I feel like I like to be busy and but still have time to make sure I do the work. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But you know, some people cannot, like, you have that strong growth ethic and you're able to excel in everything that you're doing. And some people, they can't do that. They have to focus on just one thing and still won't see the same results, even though they are intelligent. So I think sometimes you just don't really see what everybody sees, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't feel that I excel in everything. Like, I, somewhere is going to be, it's one area is going to be lacking. It may not be lacking detrimentally, but
not as good as the other.
Yeah, like, I feel like I could probably, if one thing was off of my plate, I could probably do better in this area. So it's just, you know, I have it all on my plate, but everything is not going to get the same attention. Everything is not going to get the same effort. And mm-hmm. something is not going to be as good as something else. So it's just, I kind of try to, like, work smart and hard. Mm-hmm. But that, like, that kind of contradicts. But, I mean, still working smart with it, but also being able to balance everything out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And knowing, like you said, knowing what to prioritize mm-hmm. and put the effort into. She do say, like, some stuff might not have as much, you know, might lack a little bit, but still, when it's lacking, she's still on top, at the top. So that's just how she just don't see how intelligent she is sometimes. But another question I wanted to ask, because I know we have been super humble our whole entire lives. So it's really hard for us to acknowledge our talents and acknowledge maybe our intelligence or mm-hmm. our achievements. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, this season, it was kind of hard for me to choose grateful, because sometimes it's hard for me to, like, just acknowledge the great things and all of those things like that. But, well, it's not hard for me to acknowledge it to myself, but to other people, it's hard for me to just, yeah you know what I'm saying? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's hard for me to really just acknowledge it to other people. So I just want to ask you this. Many students and professionals struggle with acknowledging their own accomplishments and talents. Have you ever experienced imposter syndrome or felt uncomfortable talking about your achievements? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Most definitely. So actually, this question is, like, one of my weaknesses. So when I went through my interviewing processes, like, even for jobs, for residency, or even for, like, applying to those positions for organizations, they always want you to brag on yourself and talk about all the good things you do. And, like, like you said, I guess I'm, like, humble, so I really can't see or, like, show, like, bam, I'm Tia, this me, this is what I did, I did X, Y, and Z. So I don't really do that. I just kind of, I'm just, like, more reserved with it, and I don't really say much. So that's something that I definitely experience. And then imposter syndrome, like, even with getting to pharmacy school, I'm like, oh, my gosh, all these smart people are in here. Like, do I even belong? Am I smart enough to be here? Am I smart enough to get this degree? Because it wasn't easy. Like, I'm like, whoa, this is a lot. I think I need to readjust the way I was doing things from undergrad to now, try to figure out what's going to work for me at this stage. So I did have imposter syndrome, still do actually. Like, I'm about to graduate, have a doctorate, start a job as a doctor, as a resident, and it still really hasn't hit me yet that I, you know, made it this far and worked so hard to get here. So even, like, as a resident, I'm sure I'm going to have imposter syndrome, like, wow, I am making these recommendations for a patient to help them in their life. Like, you know, sometimes people can make the wrong decision. It's not, it's like life or death. Like, you have someone's life in your hands. So you just want to be sure that you are very, like, educated and prepared, and you want to do the right thing, make the right choices and decisions for the patient, and not, you know, not harm anyone. Mm-hmm. So every day, you know, it's like, I can't believe I made it this far. You know, I'm here, and I just I'm kind of growing with, you know, being able to acknowledge my accomplishments and try to, you know, say the things that I did do. Like, there's something that I've just continued to grow with. Because every time in an interview, what's your strengths? What's your weaknesses? And I'm like, I really can't, you know, talk about my accomplishments or make myself shine or stand out, even though I do have those attributes that I can use, but I just, you know, don't really know how to put it out on display. So that's something that I've always just been trying to work on.
Mm-hmm. Me
it's
too.
It's not perfected. It's not perfected, but I'm still just trying to continue to push and take advice from others. Like whenever I ask them, hey, like even with like a letter of intent or something or a cover letter, trying to make yourself stand out. Like what makes you different from all these other candidates? Yes, everyone else is smart. Everyone else has, you know, been involved. Everyone else has did X, Y, Z. So what makes you different? So just being able to kind of, you know, self-reflect, look at everything, maybe even write everything down to actually visualize like everything I've done so far and being able to kind of like tell someone else like, here, this is what I did.
Yes.
This is my value.
Yes. I'm truly working on it. Like, I'll try to be like, you know what, girl, you done did this, this, this. Who can say they did all of this? You know, mm-hmm. I have to really tell myself that and just remind myself who I am. And yeah. You have to always try to do that because being too humble will get you overlooked real quick. And I've learned that many times mm-hmm. about that. So, yeah, but I'm so excited. You know, everything is going well. You're finna graduate pharmacy school.
Yes.
It's just so many accomplishments. Your life is changing so much right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, 2023. What a year.
Yeah.
Exciting. And, you know, it's just a lot, but, you know, you just take it one day at a time. Keep it moving.
This interview was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I look forward to maybe, you know, update after everything has, you know, after you've gotten your degree, after you said I do, after you've, you know, just everything. We'd like to hear some more of this story.
Yeah, to be continued.
Yes. Well, all right. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.